Hey, great to see you this morning. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? The 11 o'clock crowd, I love 11 o'clock. I expect extra energy out of you guys today because you guys had extra rest. The sleep late crowd, amen? Yeah. Well, great. Hey, we've got a great summer planned, and I just wanted to mention a couple of things. Father's Day is coming up in 2 weeks, and we are having the first annual men's push-up competition here on Father's Day, right here on this stage. It's going to be awesome. So, guys, you have 2 weeks to train, okay? That's why I'm telling you. I want to help you, like, you know, do well, okay? So I love you. I'm your pastor, so I'm giving you some words of wisdom today. Also, the bench press competition will make its comeback, okay? And I know that some of you guys didn't have a good showing last year, but you want to kind of amp up your game, okay? So that's 2 weeks. Don't miss all that. We got Wild Week for all the kids coming up. Not this week, but the next week. It's going to be fantabulous. So get your kids signed up for that. It's going to be great. We're really excited. That's why people are dressed in superheroes costumes. Some of you are like, I'm a first-time guest. There's a lot of weird people around here. No, they work in the kids' ministry. They are weird, but they work in the kids' ministry. There's a reason why they have that on. Well, great. Well, today I want to continue our series that we began a few weeks ago called Can't Stop, Won't Stop. We're talking about the power of worship, the power of worship. And recently read a study conducted by some university professors. They began to study the impact of Thanksgiving. And they got three groups of people in their study group, and they gave an assignment to each of the three groups. They said to group number one, your responsibility is to think about all of the great things going on in your life, all the positive things that are happening every single day for a certain amount of time for several weeks. They said, group number two, your responsibility is to think about everything that is terrible in your life. That guy cut me off in traffic. I can't pay my bills. My boyfriend just broke up with me. Whatever it is, okay? You're to think about everything that's wrong with your life. The third group of people, they were given the responsibility to just think about things that were not necessarily bad or good, but were indifferent, like, you know, I cleaned out my shoe closet or whatever it may be. And at the end of the study, the professors begin to analyze the different study groups, you know, like little PhDs do, and they came to some conclusions. And this was the result of the study, that people that practiced Thanksgiving and gratitude in group number one were more optimistic, they were more energetic, they were more enthusiastic, they were more determined, they had more joy in their life, they were able to handle challenges that were before them with greater strength. They slept better at night. They achieved personal goals. They were less envious of the possessions of other people. And they had better relationships with their family and friends. How great is that? That's the power of Thanksgiving. And isn't it interesting what the university professors discovered in our day is something that God has been teaching us for thousands of years. It's the power of Thanksgiving. God wants us to be people of praise. And listen, we can't talk about praise if we don't talk about thanksgiving. So today I want us to open our Bibles to Psalm 100. And I want us to look at this psalm. And I was sitting there in worship, and I just felt like the Lord gave me a couple of things today that I put on my cell phone. How's that for you, okay? So you get some real Holy Spirit-inspired stuff. But let me just tell you a couple of things that were on my heart just a few minutes ago. And I did not share this with the service last night or the 9:30. So you guys get bonus material, okay, this morning. But here's a couple of things today. Praise is the antidote to worry and to stress. And the reason that praise is the antidote to worry and stress is because when we begin to worship God, it takes our eyes off of the size of our problem and it puts them on the size of our God. Now, worship doesn't make God bigger, but you know what it does do? It reminds us of how big God is. That's what it is. That's the power of praise. And listen, the heart of praise is thanksgiving. You can't really worship the Lord if you're not grateful for what God has done in your life. Gratitude, thanksgiving. And listen, your life will go a lot better if you're a grateful person. People that are not grateful have a really, really hard life. God has been saying this for a really, really long time. This is the background of Psalm 100. I believe that the 100th Psalm may be perhaps the most loved and cherished and well-known of the Psalms. There's 150 of them, but Psalm 100 is certainly one of the most loved and endeared psalm. And it is a psalm that is rooted in thanksgiving. If you read the little subscript there above Psalm 100 in your Bible, it says a psalm of thanksgiving. It's the only psalm in the whole Bible that has that special note. And so we can't have a teaching series about worship and praise if we don't talk about thanksgiving. So I want to talk to you today about how we can express our thanksgiving to God, how we can tell God thank you for all that he has done with us. And the problem with praise oftentimes is we're not grateful. So how can we begin to express our gratitude towards God? The Bible says, first of all, we have to shout. We have to shout. We had a little warm-up session here during the greeting a few minutes ago, but notice what verse 1 of the psalm says, shout, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout with joy. And you know, when you shout about something, you have some conviction in your life. You know, if you're going to shout about it, you got to feel it, right? You got to be excited about it. You got to be enthusiastic. I think what the scripture is saying is that there ought to be energy in worship. When we worship God, we ought to be enthusiastic. We ought to be motivated. We ought to be inspired. Thanksgiving, again, is rooted in praise, and our praise is expressed with a shout to God. Now, I remember a few years ago, the Broncos were in the playoffs, and they were playing the Steelers in the wild card game. Do you guys remember that? Tebow was the quarterback. And we had not completed hardly any passes the whole game. But in overtime, Tebow, he has a Holy Spirit moment, doesn't he? And he completes that pass to Demaryius Thomas, and he scores, and we win the game. And I don't know if I jumped up and shouted because Tebow completed a pass or if it was because we won the game. I'm not sure, but it was awesome. And you know, when you shout about something, you feel convicted about it. You are excited about it. Listen, in our worship, we should be shouting to God. We should be singing praises to him, man. We should be energetic. We should sometimes, guys, check this out. We should sometimes be even loud at worship, okay? This is not Catholic Mass, okay? We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is Ed's church about? We are celebrating our relationship with Jesus. And that causes us to shout a little bit. So it's okay to shout. You get excited. Okay, I'm not talking about being weird or being strange, but I'm just talking about being enthusiastic. This is what the Bible says worship is all about, and we need to give God a shout out, don't we? You know that term shout out? It came from that television show that's been on PBS for more than 30 years. It's called the Video Music Box. Anybody here watch Video Music Box? Okay, all right, nobody. I'll tell you about it. It was the original hip-hop music video program, okay? This is like, it began in 1983, okay? This is even before Run DMC, okay? That's how old it is, okay? It goes all the way back. And this DJ named Ralph McDaniels would give a portion of his program, like before they would go to commercials and stuff, he would give the audience an opportunity to give what he called a shout-out, a term that had never been used before, a shout-out. And so people could give praise or acknowledgement to their family or their friends or their loved ones for a few seconds. And that's what it was called, the shout-out. And so the phrase, the shout-out, or the little statement that we use today is meaning to give acknowledgement or praise to somebody or to give props to somebody, came from this show. And listen, as a Christian, we are to give shout-outs to God. We're to constantly be giving acknowledgement and praise to him. When people ask you, why do you have so much joy in your life? You know, you got this going on in your life. You're not freaking out. You're not stressed out. Why is that? You know what we need to do? We need to give a shout-out to God. We need to give acknowledgement and praise to him. What we don't want to do is go, well, I'm just such a great person, you know? Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes God will do things in our lives and we take credit for it, you know? Well, I just don't have anxiety, you know, that kind of thing. Or when people say, how do you raise your kids like that, you know? Man, I want to give props. I want to give a shout out to God. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about what he's done in my life. Let me tell you about his mercy. Let me tell you about his grace. Let me tell you about how he changed me. Let me tell you about what God has done in my life. We should be giving God a shout out. A shout out. This is part of praise. This is part of thanksgiving, the scripture tells us. And And we ought to be motivated to give God a shout, because it says here that we ought to shout to the Lord with what? With joy, right? With joy. So we're not just being loud, we are being joyful. And that means that when we come to corporate worship, some of us may need to drink a little protein shake before you come to church, okay? Get you some caffeine, whatever you got to do. Because the Bible says we should be joyful and we should shout to God. Shout to God. The heart of thanksgiving is a heart that shouts to God. Gives a shout out to the Lord. But the scripture goes on in verse 2 and it tells us that it's not just shouting, but it is also serving. We should be serving the Lord. Serving is an act of worship. How is serving an act of worship? You know, sometimes we think worship is just raising our hands and singing to God. But did you know that serving others is also serving God? That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, if you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. In other words, when you serve other people, you serve the Lord. And that is an act of worship. So our worship should entail shouting, but also it should entail serving. We ought to be serving the Lord. And verse 2 is actually a command. It's in the imperative tense in the Hebrew language, meaning that we don't have a choice. The Bible says we should serve the Lord, is what the Bible says. You don't serve the Lord out of guilt or out of obligation or to bring attention to ourselves, but we serve the Lord gladly. And so we don't complain. You know, we should not be whiners and complainers. When you have a whining, grumbling, murmuring spirit, that is the antithesis, I can't even say the word, antithesis of praise, right? Of praise, of worship to God. So when we worship God throughout the day, when we worship God in the church, our heart should be engaged in joyful worship. The Bible tells us, and we serve the Lord with joy. Serve the Lord with gladness, you know, with a grateful heart. And so what that means also is that it's not just the ministerial staff, it's not just the pastors that serve the Lord. We all serve the Lord, okay? All of us, the whole congregation is involved in serving the Lord. And man, I hope you have some kind of ministry right here in the church, because when you have that ministry, it's opportunity for you to worship. And we love to worship the Lord in singing, but also in serving. So we have a whole class in our church called the 301 class, and we offer it every month. And, you know, you ought to come and take the class, because we'll help you connect with a place to worship through service here in the church. And in that class, we'll equip you, we'll train you, we'll teach you, answer your questions, whatever it may be. Because we want to worship the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, we are telling God, thank you for all that you've done. What an honor. It is a privilege to serve. It's an honor to serve. We need to be serving God. I love to say this, the pastors are the administrators, but the people are the ministers. In other words, all of us are serving the Lord. All of us are serving. All of us are involved. It's not obligation, it's opportunity. So we serve, we shout, and we also sing. How about that? We cannot leave singing out of this. This is the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are the hymns of the Hebrew people. This was like the hymn book of the ancient Hebrews. And they would open this up and they would sing. But these were the lyrics. Many of them were written by David. Other authors contributed as well. But look at verse 2, the latter part of verse 2. Come before him singing with joy. Now, do we see a little theme there? Gladness, joy, everything's mentioned here. You know, it's all about, you know, passion and enthusiasm for the Lord. This is how we worship. Come before him singing with joy. Very good. And this, too, is a command. We're commanded to serve the Lord. We're commanded to sing to the Lord. Now, it's great that the scripture does not say sing to the Lord with musical accuracy, right? We would all be in bad trouble, right? But it says here, sing with joy. So see, you can be the most tone-deaf person. You can be like handicapped when it comes to singing, okay? And you can still make a joyful noise unto the Lord, you know, the Bible says. So that's the good part. And I really like that. I underline that part of my Bible because a few years ago, I had on one of those headset mics that I was going to preach with, and we were meeting at the school at the time, and my wife was leading the band and the worship that Sunday, and she was up here singing, and she was making these weird noises at me, and these weird faces at me, and I thought, well, what's going on? You know, sometimes your spouse has that look. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, there's that look, and I'm like, what is that? Well, I found out later that the sound guys had left my microphone on in her earpiece, and not just her earpiece, the whole band. And I'm thinking the whole time, what is wrong with the band this morning? Can somebody keep a beat? Can somebody hit the note? Come to find out, I was messing up the whole thing. All my fault. And I just had one of those moments, man. I'm telling you, I was just in the worship. I love to participate and I love to sing, but I was singing even more. Gina was like, you sing so loud, you know. And all that. Oh, I'm so thankful that we don't have to sing well to sing with joy, right? You can, when the Lord does something in your life, you're just expressing joy to the Lord, even if you can't really hit the notes that well. And I'm so glad God is not like one of those judges on The Voice. Amen. But you know, singing, I think, is really powerful in the life of a Christian because singing is emotional. Have you ever thought about how music can move your heart in a way? Like, I mean, I'm a preacher. I've given my life to preaching. I love the preaching of God's word. But there's something different about a song. A song can move you. A song can motivate you. A song can inspire you, like, in a way that like, just words can't. Right? And that's why God has given us the gift of song. And I believe that, you know, sometimes I hear worship songs that remind me of periods in my life where I was going through certain things and I remember that song, and that song brings back memories about how God was faithful in that moment. And maybe you got some songs that bring back some memories. I'm convinced that every couple has a song. You know, if you don't have a song, you need to get a song. A little love song, because love songs bring out emotions, don't they? Worship songs bring out emotions. But you know what? If you fell in love in the 1970s, you may have fallen in love to a little song by Foreigner called, I Wanna Know What Love Is. I want you to show me. You guys know that one? That's some good stuff right there. We're going back, old school right here. Many of us fell in love in the 1980s. You know, you had a little song. And I'm reminded of Olivia Newton-John when she's saying, let's get physical. Do you guys remember that? And in the video to that song, Olivia Newton-John has got on a leotard and she's like working out. That song is not about working out. I was always so confused by that. What is going on? A few years later, the Police came out with their Every Breath You Take. That was a good one, wasn't it? That was like a chart topper. But it's kind of a stalker song. Every move you make, every breath you take, I'll be watching you. Making people nervous. In the 1990s, Whitney came out with a great one. Oh my gosh, we cannot talk about love songs if we don't talk about Whitney. And I will always love you. Somebody fell in love to that, I know. Love that. In the 2000s, it was like Norah Jones singing Come Away With Me In The Night. Whoa, that's romantic, I'm telling you right there. Come Away With Me In The Night. But more recently, if you've fallen in love, you may have fallen in love to Ed Sheeran's song, Thinking Out Loud. We found love right where we are. Is that not great? Fantastic. Here's the best part. Take me into your loving arms. Place your head on my beating heart. We found love right where we are. That just makes you want to fall in love, right? Even if you don't have anybody, you want to fall in love. Feeling good. But there's also breakup songs, too, not just fall in love songs. Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. Oh, that's a real good one right there. If you're going through a breakup, you need to listen to that on the way home from church today. How about Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River? Oh, that is epic right there. So sad. There's songs that make us want to get back together, you know? There's songs that make us want to break up. There's songs that make us want to fall in love. There's songs that make us want to exercise, for crying out loud. And you know what? There's songs that make us want to worship God. There's songs that invoke emotion. We sang some incredible songs this morning about God's love and His faithfulness for us and to us. And we celebrate that. We should be singing. Guys, there's something powerful in song. In the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's a king of Judah. His name's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat goes onto the field of battle, and before he is to engage the enemy, he does something that's unprecedented. He's looking out at three armies that are opposing him. There's this army, there's this army, there's this army. And he's got one little army, and he's about to fight three armies. And he says, you know what? Call out the choir. Call out the worshipers. And they put some of those little risers out there on the field of battle. They put on some white choir robes, and they come out, and they start singing praises to God. You know what happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? This is in the Bible, okay? I'm not making this up. The three armies turn on each other, start killing each other, and King Jehoshaphat wins the battle, and he doesn't even break a sweat. I mean, it's an unusual passage. It's a weird passage. I'm telling you today, I don't understand that, but there's something powerful about praise. There's something powerful about worship. There's something powerful about singing to God. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like in the middle of Afghanistan if our military was taking on some insurgents, and right before the general sent the infantry into battle, they called out the cast of Pitch Perfect? And all of a sudden, like, Fat Amy is out there busting out in four-part harmony with Bumper and the whole cast. And that would be crazy. Who does that? There's something powerful, powerful about praise. And listen, all the way through the Bible, people have been singing. When Mary got the news from the angel that Jesus was going to be born, what did she do? She dropped a beat. She began to sing. Yeah, when David slayed Goliath, what did the people do? They began to sing, sang a song. When the Hebrew people were delivered from Egyptian captivity, what happened? They began to praise God. They began to sing. They began to celebrate. We need to be a people that are worshiping God, singing to God. Singing does the heart good. We need worship. That's why we got to be here every week, man, because we got to shake off all of the stuff in our life that is diverting us from the greatness of God and to refocus ourselves on who God is in our life. That's what praise does. That's what worship does. So we sing to God. We sing to God with praise. Right after the Last Supper, the disciples, the Bible says they ate and then they did what? They sang a hymn. Right? Paul and Silas were in prison in Acts 16. When they began to praise God, the chains began to fall off of them and the prison doors came open. Man, we need to worship God. We need to worship the Lord, man. That's what we need to do. Singing, serving, shouting to God, and then finally sacrificing. Sacrificing. Can't talk about praise without sacrifice, because Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Sacrifice of praise. What is a sacrifice of praise? I've been asking myself that question this week. What is a sacrifice of praise? Sacrifice of praise. And a sacrifice of praise is really offering to God ourselves, is what it is. We are in the spirit of the sacrifice. We are not bringing an animal, but we're bringing ourselves. That's why Romans chapter 12, 2 says we are a living sacrifice. In other words, the way that we live every day, we are sacrificing unto God. So we're laying on the altar selfishness. We're laying on the altar pride. We're laying on the altar our own agendas. We're laying on the altar whatever we want to do. And we are continually offering to God the sacrifice of praise. We can't talk about praise without talking about the sacrifice. And you may wonder, Ryan, what could I really offer the Lord? What could I offer God? You know, God has everything. What does God need? You know, it's like trying to give your rich grandpa a Christmas present. You know, what does grandpa need for Christmas? He has everything. You know what you can give God? You can give God a sacrifice of praise. You can give God yourself. That's a decision that you have to make. God says, that's beautiful. That's why in verse 4 of Psalm 100, it says, we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks and praise his name. Notice two times right there, thanksgiving and praise. Thanks and praise. And it's something that we can actually give God. And I love this verse, verse 4, because it says, enter his gates. This is talking about the temple there in Jerusalem. The scripture is telling the people, when you get to the front door, before the service has even started, before the band has even played a note, before anybody's even said a prayer, start praising God. Start doing, enter his gates, man. The moment we come to church, we ought to start praising God. We ought to start celebrating what God has done. We need to be people of joyful expression to God. And you may feel like, Ryan, that's not my personality. I'm going to tell you today, you can be the most drab, most boring person in the planet. But listen, when you begin to be grateful to God, you cannot stop worshiping the Lord. You can't stop. And if you have a praise problem, then you have a thanks problem. You begin to be grateful to God, people cannot stop you from worshiping him. That's who he is. There's power in his worship. Robert Emmons was one of the university professors that conducted the study that I mentioned a minute ago. And after doing all this research and seeing how being thankful really began to change people's lives, he began to look at his own life. Begin to say, you know what, I'm kind of critical. I'm kind of negative sometimes. I'm kind of the person that's always focused on the glass being half empty. He began to really make some changes in his life. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to look at our own hearts today. What are you focused on, man? Are you focused on all your problems? You focused on all the stuff that ain't going right? Are you giving God thanks and praise for all of his blessings? Every person in here today has been blessed in some way. Man, if you're alive today, you have been blessed by God. You are being blessed. Let's be the most grateful people in town. Let's be the people that are celebrating the goodness and the greatness of God. Let's be the people that are expressing joy and thanksgiving and gladness to the Lord as we worship and we celebrate the great God that we serve. Because again, in worship, it takes our eyes off of the bigness of our problems and it puts our eyes on the bigness of our God. And when we're looking at the bigness of God, all of our problems look like little, just miniature little stuff, doesn't it? That's what we need today. Let's just bow together for a word of prayer.